Thank you, Brother Tom. What an honor to be here today. Sometimes when I go to a new place, what a wonderful crowd, and I've enjoyed the music, the singing, everything. I've enjoyed it all. And I often tell folks sometimes, I kind of feel like that fella that went somewhere to preach, and when he got there, there were just a handful of people. And he asked the pastor, he said, "Hey, did you tell him I was coming?" He said, "No, I didn't, but I'm going to find out who did." And so, but it's just good to be with Brother Tom Holt and Miss Joyce and all of you here at Hope Baptist Church in Dillsboro, Indiana. Good to meet these folks here out of California. And I just in California in June. And you mentioned about D.C. I've got an early flight in the morning, trying to do what we can for this country, the country that I love. This country needs some help, and only God can do it. I want to preach a little bit today. Never felt more like it in my life. I like old-fashioned preaching, don't you? Abraham Lincoln said he liked for a man to preach like his coat was on fire, like a swarm of bees had grabbed it. Down in the old country, every once in a while, they would hack a message. I've been wanting to for a long time. I don't know, I might just hack one today. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and I believe that would be a good place to start in verses 24 and 25. Would you stand with us today as we honor the Lord's word? And then while you're at it, find on over into Ephesians 5 and verse 14 and hold your hand there if you will, please. In Matthew 13, the Bible says in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. We're glad today that the word of God is settled in heaven. And help us to do our best for you. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm thinking today, I got this message, Brother Jerry, when I got here. I used similar message in the book of, and when I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Brother Evangelist, thank you for the good teaching today. I appreciate that. I'm going to use a subject today, why are we sleeping? John Kennedy wrote a book right before his presidency about England being caught off guard, and he called it "Why While England Slept." The Bible has something to say about sleep many, many places, but I want to look at it today from this context. It seems like today that many of us may be asleep. I was thinking of some characteristics of sleep. You know, when you are asleep, you're not aware of who is present. We don't know. I mean, you don't know who's there. The Queen of England could be there, or whatever person you might think about could be there, but you'd be unaware of it. I believe that we're at the crossroads in America. And say with me today, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I got to be honest with you. You see, when Patrick Henry went before the legislature March the 23rd, 1775, he said, "It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. The gentleman may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has already begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? The next gale from the north will bring to our ears the resounding clash of arms. What is it that the gentlemen seek? What is it that they wish? Is life so sweet or peace so dear as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but it's for me. Give me liberty or give me death. There is a just God that presides over the destinies of nations. The battle is not ours alone, sir. Brother Holt was mentioning, I believe it was, about the lottery. Dr. Joe Wright, a Christian pastor, went before the Kansas State Senate, and when he gave this prayer, people walked out. He said, "Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness. We know that your word says, woe to those that call evil good, but that's exactly what we've done. We've exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We've polluted the air with profanity and called it freedom of expression. We've ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search our hearts today, O God, and cleanse us from every stain." Pat Buchanan, in his book, The Death of the West, said, "In half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their country invaded, their values assaulted, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. Tell me something. Are we asleep?" You see, I came from a different background. We were poor. I don't know if we were as poor as Brother Billy Kelly said he was. Brother Billy said he was so poor that every year at Christmas time, his dad would go out and fire the shotgun, come in and tell all the kids that Santa Claus had committed suicide. He said they were so poor, Brother Tom, that when his mother would fix those big cathead biscuits, he said they'd go out and hold them in the yard so the aroma from the neighbor's ham could flow through it. But we're living, my friends, listen to me. Because, see, I don't ever know when I'll be back. I'm at the point in my life, I'm like Mark Twain, where I remember a lot of things that happened and some it didn't. But a sobering message needs to be heard. We are asleep. And when you're asleep, you don't know who's present. The devil is working upon our faith, our families, and our freedoms today. You see, my mother was from McCreary County. Kentucky has 120 counties. McCreary was the youngest of all the counties. And where my mother was from, Mama was born in 1899. I'm the son of old age. I really am. My dad's first wife had died. My mother's first husband had died, and I was born to their marriage. Seemed like I've been around old people all of my life. I almost feel like that guy that said he was so old, he could remember when the Dead Sea was just sick. But you know, I guess what I'm saying, my dad was 51 when I was born. He'd been gone almost 50 years. I think of him every day. My dad had an old-fashioned belief. I mean, he was an extremist. He thought folks ought to get married and then live together.
Yeah.
My mother didn't know a subject from a verb. She didn't know about a dangling participle. And I know you all do. She didn't know about a split infinitive. She didn't know about paragraph construction. She'd never studied the etymological derivation of words. But she said when she got saved, the greatest teacher in the universe went home with her that day. You see, 102 people didn't get in that tiny Mayflower. They hadn't been at sea for 65 days. They didn't come here because they wanted to bring their favorite copy of the Quran. Governor Winthrop said, when we arrived, we bowed the knee and blessed the God of heaven for safe deliverance and said, we're here for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. See, America's been blessed. May I share two or three reasons? Is it okay? I'll give you three. One, we've done more for the poor, the downtrodden, than any other country in the world. Secondly, we've been a friend to Israel. God said, he told to them, he said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest in number. He said, you were the fewest in number, but I chose you because I loved you. That's the sovereignty of God. He said, they are the apple of his eye. In Genesis 12, he said, I'll bless those that bless thee, and I'll curse those that curse thee. Aren't you glad that our president has moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? And God's not through with those people yet. They're still a remnant. They will come back in. But then, thirdly, we, not only that, but we sent missionaries around the globe with the glorious news of the gospel. That one died, was buried, and is risen again. And that by faith in him and him alone, we can have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, we have... Hope Baptist Church, our God is both God and man. 100% man. 100% God. Let me illustrate it. He was a man in the fact that he could eat. But he was God in the fact that he could feed 5,000. He was man in the fact that he would sleep. But God in the fact that he would come out of that sleep and rebuke the wind. Getting better. He was man in the fact that he would die, but God in the fact that he would rise victorious over death and the grave. Amen. John Adams and Samuel Adams said, we have no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Let me tell you one other thing. When people are asleep, they don't know where they are. I slept pretty good last night until about 3:30. I don't know what happened to me. I don't normally do that. But I told my wife, I said, I'll just get up. I made a little coffee. And then I listened to my Bible app. I was listening to Malachi about 4 something here this morning. Now what I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to make myself spiritual, but I want to ask you a question. I'd like to ask each one of you individually, are we asleep? What's happened that the devil has come in and is destroying us on every front? See, I look at this here today. I've got 5 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. And my grandchildren are like your grandchildren. They're very special. I hate to commit it, but I can't discipline any of them. I'm serious. My daughter and them, they won't leave the kids with me. They came one day, and my wife likes to go to Goodwill, Miss Joyce. And so my daughter, Angie, she was always persnickety about what they'd eat. And not to have pop and all. They all took off one day, Brother Tom, and they left the kids with me. And I said, kids, there's some pop in the refrigerator. And I said, there's some candy. I think there's some cookies. Might be some ice cream. Well, when the ladies came back, the kids were buzzing off the wall. And my daughter said, Dad, you didn't. I said, I did. Now they won't leave on me. They get hitchhikers to sit with the kids. You see, when somebody's asleep, not only do they not know who is there, they don't know where they are. I ask you a question. How long are we going to be asleep? You see, I'm concerned not so much about me and Brother Tom. We'll probably make it. I'm concerned about your families. Dr. B.R. Lakin one time said he was glad he was born at home. Said he always wanted to be close to his mother. I was close to my mom. Like I said, Mom didn't know one thing. She'd never studied Aesop's fables. She didn't know who William Shakespeare was. She didn't know a thing about Lady Macbeth. She didn't know anything about Horatio Alger. She didn't know anything about James Fenimore Cooper or any of these writers. But boy, could she ever make cornbread. And she loved me. The old timers had some expressions that we ought to embrace today. You see, they had their own language, but I could understand it. She didn't know the king's English. She just knew the king.
Yeah, that's it.
And they had their own little words. Mama would say, oh, there's a skift of snow on the ground. Well, I knew exactly. Some of the old timers would say, how you doing? They'd say, oh, just tolerable. Just tolerable, get along tolerably well. See, I understand all that. I'm a product. Somebody said, you can't live in the past. I said, yeah, but the past is living in me. Amen. See, I still can get a can of Spam every once in a while. Friends, what's happened to us? Brother Jerry and I were talking, coming down here. And I said, Brother Jerry, what's wrong? I said, why is it that cousins used to be closer than brothers and sisters now? At one time, we had to depend upon one another. If you ran out of flour, you had to go to the neighbor. If you ran out of sugar, you had to depend upon one another. Now we got a card in our pocket. What's happened to us? You see, we've kind of moved along technologically and maybe economically, and maybe we know a little bit better about the gross domestic product, the GDP or whatever. But I'm here to tell you today, folks, there is a famine in the land.
Yeah, amen.
And it's for the want of the preached gospel.
That's right.
We need some men today that'll preach this Bible as it is to men as they are.
Yeah.
And I'm not changing Bibles. How about you?
Amen.
Somebody say amen there.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little illustration of that. You might like this one. What if I went over here to the English teacher and I said, Miss English teacher? I said, Julius Caesar is too difficult. Where the conspirator Cassius is talking to Brutus, the nobleman. Cassius looks at him, and he's pretty sharp, Cassius was. He said, methinkest thou doest protest too much. I said, why don't, Miss English teacher, why don't we just put it in modern idiom and say, lighten up, dude. We've done the same thing with the Bible. I'm here to tell you today that this Bible is pure. It's preserved. It's perfect. It's settled in heaven. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see, not only that, when you're asleep, you don't know what who else is talking. We've got voices talking across the country. They're telling our kids that a one-celled amoeba through a mutative process and a random selection created a Homo sapien. I never drank anything in my life, and I like that. But my mother's people, they didn't put all their corn in the jar in the crib. But you know what? You couldn't get them drunk enough to believe in evolution. They couldn't get that drunk.
That's right. You know,
that part of the country, you'll almost see moonshiners. And on the back of their truck, they'll have a sticker that says, read your Bible every day. But here we are today. We got so educated, erudite, and scholarly, right? We got so scholastic. We got enough degrees to look like a thermometer. And here we got so pompous and eloquent. And we got to such a point now that we say, oh, no, man. My nephew, a great nephew, I'll tell you about it, told me last night. I said, hey, Ryan, I'm not going to argue with family. And he said, great uncle. I told him, I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him while he's near. And he said, I don't have time for fables.
My.
He said, I'm going to look out for me and my kids. And said, that's what I'm all about. Said, take care. That was his last two words.
My.
What's happened that people used to be, they were preachers. And now their kids or grandkids don't even go to church.
Yeah.
I know of it. What's wrong with us that many of our children today will never know who wrote Amazing Grace? They'll never know the final verse of Amazing Grace that says, when we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. Boy, I don't want to see our songs disappear, do you? I was just recently in Connecticut and got to go see Fanny Crosby's gravesite. You know Fanny Crosby?
Yes.
Wrote over 8,000 songs. She was blinded because somebody put a poultice on her eyes. She had memorized the first four books of the New Testament, the five books of the Pentateuch. She had memorized Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, and a great many of the Psalms. Brother Jerry, he's heard it all. Coming down the road. And I said, Jerry, or one of us did, we've given up good songs just for involvement.
I might. Yeah. Look out.
These songs are not good because they're old. They're old because they're good.
Amen.
Amen. You tell me, how do you beat songs like there is a fountain filled with blood? Somebody say amen. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins,
right,
and sinners plunge beneath that flood, they lose all their guilty stains. Fanny Crosby, there at that cemetery, Tom Thumb and P.T. Barnum are also buried. Visitors come to visit those graves. Fanny's is pretty well neglected. See, we've given up a lot. The devil, while we were asleep, came in and said, you don't need that Bible. You don't need those songs. Why, they're too archaic.
Yeah.
They're too old. Don't depend on songs like that. Just have people sway. It could sing, they could say, see the monkey go around the totem pole. But as long as you're swaying. Oh, it's really, really good. Get right in on it. It'll be good exercise for you. Are we asleep? See, when you're asleep, you don't know what's taking place. What's happened? See, I come from a different culture. Have I got 10 minutes, brother? I came from a different culture. When I was growing up, grass was something we mowed. Coke was something we drank. AIDS were the people that worked in the principal's office. And coming out of the closet meant we'd been playing hide and go seek. Now we're trying to say that God made a mistake an aberration, that he wasn't sure whether we were masculine or feminine. When did that happen? We took a man that was well known in the sports world, whose picture was on Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, and then we transferred it to Fruit Loops. Tell me, do your kids know? Do they know who you are? I'm going to ask a question. Do they know anything about your family? Ask them. Who was Grandpa so-and-so? You might say, well, they're not interested. The philosopher Macaulay said, those who take no pride in the achievements of remote ancestors will never do anything worth being remembered by remote descendants. Somebody told me one day, said, oh, I don't care if people remember me or not. I said, I do. Job said, oh, that my words were written in a book, that they were graven with lead and iron in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Somebody say hallelujah. I tell you something I'm working on. You help me. I want you to pray for me here in a little bit. I'm working on trying to enlist some cheerleaders in every church. One of the elements we've lost in our fundamental churches is the element of praise.
Yeah.
We gave up on it. A lot of people have left good doctrinal churches because of deadness.
You're right.
They go to churches where it's dead. I hate funeral homes. I wouldn't stay in one by myself, not for $1,000. I've got a cousin that's a funeral director. I called him in one of those bad snowstorms. I said, Doug, what are you doing? He said, oh, Doc, he said, it's bad here. I was in several states away. He said, there's snow up to maybe, I don't know, back 3 or 4 years ago. He said, it's way below zero. I said, what are you doing now? He said, well, I'm going to stay here tonight. I said, at the funeral home? He said, oh, yeah. He said, there's a fireplace here. He said, I'm going to get a pillow. I've got a blanket. And he said, I can stay right here. I said, is anybody with you? He said, yeah, but said he's not talking. I said, how deep did you say that snow was? I said, Doug, by now I would be in the middle of Highway 3. I'm calling for the National Guard. I don't care if a unit has to come from Afghanistan. I'm out of this place. I'm not staying somewhere at night where somebody taps me on the shoulder that I don't know. I've got to hurry. I've got just 2 or 3 things here. You see, when you're asleep, you're not aware of how you got there. Most homes don't know it today. They don't know it. See, I'm not going to go into that. When you're asleep, you don't perceive danger. Have you ever slept and the next morning you'd wake up and somebody said, well, there was a tornado touchdown over here so-and-so. Or there was a bad storm. Or it thundered like whatever. And I said, man, I didn't hear a thing. You ever slept through it? You're unaware. And you're not aware of how long you've been there. I've gone to sleep and thought I'd been there a long time and maybe just a little bit. I look at my watch. Well, I haven't been asleep long. Now, I know I've got to get up early in the morning. I don't know how I'll sleep. I've got to be up at least by 4 o'clock. I've got to be dressed, ready to go. My point is this. He said over here in the book here, he said in Ephesians, he said, wherefore, he saith, arise thou that sleepest, and awake, rise from the dead. Let me say one last thing I was going to tell you about this. You see, we've lost our praise also. And let me say this, and I'm through. I was in Florida. These folks invited us out for an old-fashioned supper. That's my favorite kind. I had an onion fried up yesterday, a great big onion. Boy, it'll do good for you. A lot of people are eating the wrong food. You look at those sleek animals in the jungle. They eat that red meat. They have good velocity. Ambidextrous, they can do whatever they want to do. They eat right. Now you take those heavy animals like me. Eat all that green foliage. I'm telling you, folks, salads are killing us. Brother Tom will agree to that. I love Brother Tom. But let me say this in conclusion. We'd had that meal down there, and we got talking about being active in church. And this one girl, she was a nice, pleasant girl. And she told me, she said, well, I worship introspectively. I said, do you show the same emotions to your husband? Wrong question. I mean, for example, I'm through. What if your husband, ladies, came in and looked at you and said, oh, thou fairest of pulchritude. Colossal are your assets. The stipend belongs to you because you are of great turpitude. You'd say, what are you taking? What drugs are you on? But see, it's when he comes in and he says, hi, babe. He gives you a little kiss on the jaw. I'm telling you. John got so close to him that he wanted to put his head right over there on his breast, did he not?
That's right.
Somebody said, well, I go to church and I worship. I said, do you? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I've had people tell me, they say, well, Andrew, I'm introverted. I'm a little bit shy. I said, I know the feeling. But I said, one day we'll bow at his feet, Brother Tom.
Yeah.
We'll say, worthy is the risen Lamb.
Right.
I'm like the little girl that was looking at her mom and she saw scars up there on her hands and her mother saw her looking at it and she said, oh, honey, my hands look bad, don't they? But she said, babe, when you were a little bitty girl, you got caught in a fire, our house got caught on fire and said, I reached my hands in and I drug you right out of the fire. The little girl said, oh, mommy, those are beautiful scars. And I got to thinking one day, my brother, how that when I was close to the fire and I had nowhere to go, nail-scarred hands reached down, took me right out of the fire. Somebody say amen there. Boy, we ought to be getting excited. I wouldn't want to go to a team and hear cheerleaders. If you were down 25 points in the basketball game, cheerleaders come out and say, you all go on home. We're a bunch of duds here. We can't play. Cancel your tickets. We don't know if we'll even be back. You see, what's wrong with those people? But even when they're down and you know there's no hope, they're still saying, rah, rah. They're saying, take him out. Go to the hoop. Get that guy right there. Take that pass. I'm here to tell you today that as long as we got any breath, we ought to be saying, worthy is the risen Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand today.